We welcome all of you in the precious name of our Lord. Let us together sing from this song booklet, number 14, Showers of Blessing. Number 14, there shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. This we were singing prayerfully. We have sung it believing. We will ask Brother Didier to pray with us. And we stand up and we read together Psalm 100. Psalm 100. A psalm as a thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Let us pray together. And Prayer can really be made in all languages. We are just tuning in. Yes. Lord our God, we have come to say you a great thanksgiving for this morning. You have spoken already in a mighty way last night to us. Lord, we believe that you have prepared a place for us. And now you are preparing our hearts to receive your holy word. We have come in the confidence this morning that you will speak anew unto us.
Seigneur, pour que nous puissions être un peuple sur ta voie.
We are here, Lord. Bless every heart. We are here to hear your voice. Bless your people. Bless your servant. We have come to hear your voice, O Lord. You have said, my people hear my voice. We are very grateful for that. And we are expecting you in your fullness. You have given the promise. You are faithful and you are fulfilling it. We thank you for everything in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. For you are the Lord of our lives and of our faith. Be with us this morning. May our heart rejoice in your presence. Speak once again, dear Lord, and give us obedience into our hearts. For we have not only come to hear your word, but to live it out practically. We thank you that you will do it, because we pray for it in the mighty name of our beloved Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let us sing, Thou art worthy, Thou art worthy. Amen. You may be seated. Perhaps I would like to ask the choir to sing us the song, They Come from the East and West. They come from the South and North. And in the meantime, I would like to use, we have here a prayer request for Sister Erna Schmidt. We have greetings from Moldavia, Ukraine, Russia, Bielorussia, and from Moldavia, they were phoning in. They were all tuning in last night. They were listening, by the way, in Abidjan, in Burkina Faso, in Melbourne, in Johannesburg, in Gabon, in Kinshasa, all over they were tuning in. And the result of yesterday is internet transmission in 7 languages.
In 260 Kontakten,
260 connections where groups were coming together to hear, sometimes even more than 1,000 people, and this in 26 countries. Yesterday, the word of the Lord went to 26 countries. To our God be the honor and the thanks. They are coming from east and west.
Sie sehen sein altes Volk, sie
Thank you very much. This alone will be glory. When I'm free from sorrow, when I will see his face, as a German song goes. I'm very grateful for that, what God is doing, also for that, that in all the languages we can transmit. Also today, I would like to thank our brothers and sisters who were taking care that the French, that the circular letter is now available now in the French language. I would like to thank them with all my heart. Our sister Janina, our brother John Lambert, our brother Tati from Brussels, all were doing their part, contributing their part, so that the circular letter is ready in the French language today. Now, I have two news. Firstly, the cordially greetings from Brother Rus. Brother Rus is greeting all of you, but he's feeling weak, so that he could not come. We have understanding for that. The years are all reaching us sometime. But he is of a good courage, and he wished us with all his heart, God's blessing. Then we have the news, we received the news that Sister Terai, last night, she went home. Our brother Terai came home, and then the last minutes have come, so that he, together with his wife, our sister in Christ, he could spend the last minutes and she committed her to the Lord before she went from time into eternity. We, of course, have prepared a place. That's how we sang it. And no one of us knows when the hour comes. And if one is above 80, over 80, then the time has probably has come already. And the scripture says, of course, life is 70 or 80 years long. And then it was only sorrow. Not all have the same privilege. Only our sister Lotte, she is now 98 years old, and she is fresh and lively sitting here in the third row. So the Lord leads his own in a wonderful way, and he has a way with all of us. The phone calls which I had today, five in number, they were really a blessing to me. It's hardly for us to understand what kind of joy the brothers and sisters are having, who are connected live, who can witness life. And also today we're greeting all worldwide, and we wish all of them with all our hearts God's blessing. Then there was a question in reference to the praise and worship, to our together, to our common praise and worship, to our adoration. And to this I would like to say the following. Here no praise and worship is exercised as it is being done in charismatic meetings. Those who are standing there on the platform are exercising at home in special rooms. They play loud music, they are exercising how one should sing, how one should move. This is like this in the charismatic meetings. This I know because a brother whose daughter is leading there, she said it like this. At this place, it is not like this. Here we are overwhelmed, as then, as all the disciples, as the multitude of disciples was overwhelmed to have part in that, what was being fulfilled in Bible prophecies in their days. It was also the fulfillment of Isaiah 35, verse 5 and 6. When the Lord comes, then the blind shall see, and the lame shall walk, the deaf shall hear. And when the Lord came to Jerusalem, they were thanking. They had Zechariah 9:9 before their eyes. They also remembered Isaiah 35, and they were praising God for all the miracles which they experienced. It was, of course, the fulfillment of the Holy Scripture. Then we have the two special scriptures, Acts 4, verse 24, where the early church were one heart and one soul, and when they lifted up their voice together to God, praising and blessing God. Then we have the special passages in the Gospel of Luke, and then also the special scripture in Romans. Let me read from the Gospel of Luke the two Beatitudes, which were sung, not only spoken, but which were sung, the blessings. Let me read in Luke chapter 1, 46, from verse 46, we have the headline, the blessing, the song of Mary. The Psalms have been sung, be it prayer, be it requests, be it sin confession, their soul was overwhelmed before God, and they just put it into a melody before the Lord. Of Mary, it says here, she experienced the fulfillment. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. It's written here in Luke 1, from verse 46. And Mary said, my soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. And then comes the reason. For he that is mighty has done to me great things, and holy is his name. Has he not also done great things in you and in me? Was not the promised word laid into your heart and my heart? In verse 50 it says, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. God is merciful on whom he is merciful. That's how it is written. Then verse 51. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. Also, this happens up to this day. He shows his strength. But to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And who has believed the message? The answer is all who experience his mighty exalted arm, to them he reveals his word and his will. And then it says, he has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. And then it comes the confirmation of the promise from Isaiah 48, 1, 8 and Psalm 89, verse 3. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And now comes the mighty thing. As he promised to our fathers, as he promised to our fathers, fulfillment of the promises which God has given. Then we have, not just briefly, we want to go into it, also in Luke 1, the praise of Zacharias. From verse 67, and his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, so, Holy Ghost was and rested upon him, and he prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Listen, verse 70. As he promised by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. If one reads these prayers, these blessings, then we feel what went on in such men who had part in the fulfillment of prophecies, of promises. And then it says in verse 72, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. God made a first covenant, and he made a new covenant, and he said, after those days, I will make a new covenant with you. I will give you a new heart, a new spirit, a new life. I will give by grace. God, the word which he spoke through the prophets and fathers, he confirmed it. And then came in verse 76 and 77 in reference to John the Baptist, that he was also placed biblically. And this just belongs to it. The biblical placing of our Lord and the ministries which God has set into the church. Verse 76 and 77. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. This is Malachi 3, verse 1. The Bible prophecy in its fulfillment is shown to the people of God. And whoever is being led into the praise and worship, which is inspired by the Spirit, he will not bypass that what God promised and what he did, but he will also mention it in his praise and worship. In verse 77, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins.
Zuteil werden wird. Und dann noch Vers 78,
then verse 78, 79, it's just so precious.
So will es das herzliche Erbarmen
through the tender mercy of our God, also today, also today,
so will es
through the tender mercy of our God,
mit dem uns der Aufgang aus der
whereby the day spring from on high has visited us,
Licht zu
to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Yes, with this, one just has to go to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2.
Und ihre Füße
to guide our feet into the way of peace. Brothers and sisters, last night we looked at the words of the Holy Scripture that God has made peace. The letter of requirements is torn into pieces. The sin is paid for. The blood of the Lamb, the blood for the church of the new covenant, was shed, and all who belong from the old covenant to it, also they are also included into the great plan of salvation of our God. In the Old Testament, they were waiting for the Messiah, and they were wishing to see him, longing for him. And in the New Testament, we're looking back to that what happened on the cross of Calvary. For us, who we have come to the true faith, it's something precious, which cannot be compared with anything on earth. And by the grace of God, we understood it. Not one brother will teach the other one, but as our Lord said to Peter in Matthew 16, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. Revelation from the very beginning. You all know, the Lord came to his own, and his own received him not. And if then Dr. Larkin writes that at the first coming of Christ, 109 prophecies have found their fulfillment, I didn't count them. He counted them. Just think of it. For one moment, think of it. Over 100 prophecies were fulfilled at the first coming of Christ. And the Lord and Redeemer was personally among them. And yet, they didn't see it. Because the scribes, by their interpretations, they were leading them into error. The people believed the interpretations, and they didn't see the fulfillment of Scripture. The same it is today. The people just listens to the interpretations, and therefore they cannot believe the original word. Then we have the difference already between those whom God ordained for eternal life, and even to go one step further, the difference between those who are ordained to have part in the first resurrection, having part in the rapture, having part in the marriage supper, and between those who will be at the second resurrection, according to Revelation 22 from verse 11, who will then be received. It says there seven times in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, he that overcometh, and who overcomes? Namely, he who has an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Now, just to mention this, by the way, when our beloved brother yesterday told me in the office, he told me he was in a European country, and behold, he heard that there are 17 different directions within the end time message. And then we look at it, what Brother Branham was commissioned by the Lord himself, namely that this message, which was entrusted to him, will forerun the second coming of Christ. And now, men were exalting themselves and were taking and have misunderstood the statements of Brother Branham, were misinterpreting them, not taking them back into the Bible, and all are making their own directions. Brothers and sisters, this is really on my heart for the bride church, that God has a manifestation place on the earth, a church in which not only the mechanics are here, not only the teaching is here, but in which God can manifest himself in his resurrection power of our Lord. Because if we consider that the return of Jesus Christ is really has come very near, and for this we have the testimony of the Holy Scripture in a very tremendous way, in a manifold way. Let us just think on the main promise and prophecy. When the fig tree is becoming tender, I noted it down, from 1822, the Jews are returning into the land of promise. But 1948 was the founding of the State of Israel, declared by Ben-Gurion on the 14th of May, 1948. And our Lord says, when you see that the fig tree is becoming tender, it's putting forth buds, then you know that the time is near, yes, that it is even at the door. 60 years have now come and gone. Must we not stop here? Must we not understand that the time of grace is coming to its end? As the Lord said in Acts 15, verse 13, and in Romans 11, from verse 25, it is written there that the Lord calls out a church from the nations for his name, and that then Israel will be saved. Everything, without making us afraid here, just the opposite, to encourage us, our life, to put it upon the altar of God, and simply living out the life of Christ. I noted down 2 or 3 scriptures which today became great to me. And I would like to our brother Dietmar from Augsburg, I would like to thank him for it. He made me think of it. You all know, it is written, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. I think this is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50, well known to all of us. Let us read it. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. And then comes the view with that what is before us in verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all fall asleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now just a remark here, which we heard many times. Before the body can be changed at the return of Jesus Christ, the soul, the inner of the man, must now be changed. The renewing, the new birth must take place, has to take place. And this may God give us all by His grace. Then we have the wonderful scripture from Luke 24. Which we read many times and which was brought to my attention. Luke 24, and here it says in verse 39, Luke 24, verse 39, after the resurrection, our Lord said, behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit has not flesh and no bones, as ye see me have. What has come to your attention here? Did you note something? Did you note something here? After the resurrection, in the body was no blood. No blood. With our blood, our Lord entered into the Holy of Holies. After the resurrection, after the translation, we don't need any blood anymore. But the life which was in the blood, because it will not be a bodily, it will be a spiritual bodily flesh. We will then be transferred back as it is written in Genesis 1 from verse 26 to 28, that Adam at first, he was created in the image of God, and only in Genesis 2, verse 7, Adam was created from the earth, put into a body of flesh and blood. And here we have the plan of redemption before our eyes. When the Lord visited Abraham in Genesis chapter 18, he was eating and drinking. This was not a body of flesh and blood, but it was a spiritual body in which he could become visible and in which he could eat and drink. Then we have the wonderful scriptures which speak of the redemption, namely flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And therefore, our Lord came into a body of flesh and blood to give the redemption here, so that we can out of this body of flesh and blood can be taken out and can be transferred into the resurrection body. Let me read it to you from Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 from verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. And now it comes. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. With this we are going back to Genesis 3 and then to verse 15. Mainly, when the Lord God said, I will put enmity between you and between the woman, and between your seed and her seed. They were the two different seeds from the very beginning, but both in the body of flesh and blood. And therefore, the Lord had to come into a body of flesh and blood to all who are ordained for eternal life and all who were predestined to be sons and daughters, to redeem them and to give his own life to us, which was in his body of flesh here on earth when the sacrifice was given, to give it to all of us in connection with the finished redemption. As we read it in verse 14, it is written in verse 15, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Then Hebrews chapter 9, to show it to us that our Lord carried his holy blood into the Holy of Holies, and that the blood of the Lamb of God is still speaking today for us and is still on the mercy seat. And the blood of the Lamb up to the completion of the bride church will be at work in all of us by his grace, because that's how it is written in Revelation chapter 12 in verse 11. They have overcome by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. Sir? Everything at its right place. Here, in Hebrews chapter 9, it says from verse 12, yes, one should actually read also verse 11, but Christ came as high priest of good things to come. by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the Holy of Holies, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So, the church of the living God is redeemed. The price was paid. And as we looked at it yesterday from Romans 8, those whom he called, them he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Let us believe, as the scripture says it, to get into the blessing, not with if and but will we make it, will we not make it? It is finished. It is finished. We are glorified, and God, of course, has taken over the guarantee for it, that we will be with him by his grace. So, with his blood, in which was the divine life, he entered into the most holy place. And his blood speaks for us, and the life which was in it is in us, has been manifested in us by grace. Then it is Galatians 2 from verse 19. I am crucified with Christ. Now I live no longer, but Christ lives in me. And what I live now, this I live by faith of the Son of God. In Hebrews chapter 13, we are shown that our Lord, outside of the camp, outside of the city, he suffered. And also we shall go before the camp, bearing his reproach. Hebrews 13, verse 12-14. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, not only to redeem it, but to sanctify. There is the scripture which speak of redemption. There are the scriptures which speak of the sanctification. So, he is made for us for redemption and for sanctification. That's how Paul writes it to the Corinthians. Let us read once again. Verse 12, wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. And then the statement, for here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. One can read it in Hebrews 11. Abraham was looking for the city whose maker is God. John saw the new Jerusalem descending. Brothers and sisters, God means well with us. The redemption is finished. And as we said it many times, because the fall happened in the body of flesh and blood, and by this Satan entered into humanity. Therefore, the redemption had to come through the holy, pure blood, in which was the divine life, to take us out of the power of Satan, to deliver us, to take us out of death, to redeem us from everything, and to give us eternal life by His grace. So, the plan of salvation of our God is complete and perfect. One doesn't need much to speak about the fall. Also, the Bible doesn't say much about it. And one needs to read many, many scriptures to that what happened in the Garden of Eden to really to comprehend it. But the nice thing is that we have received the redemption. Whether we can explain the fall or not is not so important. Important is that we know that we have been redeemed out of the fall, out of having been taken out of the fall, that the enmity was annulled, that the enemy was conquered, that death was conquered, and that we will be that we will live forever by His grace. As I said, all the Bible topics are written, of course, in a riddle. All the parables are like a puzzle, like a riddle. And then the Lord told His own, "To you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God." Otherwise, all people would know it. Also, what happened in the Garden of Eden. But to this, let me say here, it was in the afternoon at 14 hours when the angel of the Lord was in the room, and he told Brother Branham precisely, also mentioning the scriptures. He said precisely what happened in the Garden of Eden. And we have the scriptures. But as I said already, we don't have to explain it. Why should we deepen ourselves into it? Let us deepen ourselves into the finished redemption, into the pardoning which we received. So much we all know. There was a time span, a time period without sin, without sickness, without death. This time was existing. And the Lord said, the day you eat. And that's how it started. And what is actually a pity, and this I also want to say now, it's a pity that the chapters in the Bible we have only since the 16th century. Up into the 16th century, everything was written on scrolls. There was no Genesis 1, 2, 3, and 5, or. There were no verses. There were no chapters. Only written on scrolls. The Word of God was written on scrolls. And just imagine, Genesis 2 and Genesis 3, if we would not have it into chapters divided, if we would just have it without the headline of a chapter, if we would just read on like this, between 2 and 3, then we would have the exact connection. We would not read and think about it, but we would read in context. We would just read on, namely that what the serpent did. And by the way, only in the German language the word serpent is female. In all the languages on the face of the earth, the male is used as a for the serpent. As in Greek, ho opis, everything male and not in female. But just to say it once again, if we read chapter 2 and chapter 3 right after one another, then we first have that, what the enemy did with beguiling, and then if we would read on, and Adam knew his wife, and she bare the first son with the help of the Lord. There was no midwife. Adam also didn't know what to do, how birth takes place. He didn't know. It was, of course, the first birth on the earth. And so, Eve, of course, called upon the name of the Lord. Yes. And then it says, and she continued and bare. No newing anymore of Adam and Eve. And she bare another son. There were two sons. The one had the devilish nature, as it can be, with envy, hatred, with murder, with everything that goes with it. And the other one was the first... not a single time in the Bible it says that Adam is the father of Cain. Not a single time is written that Cain is the son of Adam. Not a single time is written in the Old or New Testament Cain is not in the genealogy. You can read it three times, two times in the Old Testament and one time in the New Testament. And Cain is never in the genealogy of Adam, never listed. Just this for your orientation, to show you that God has sent a prophet to not only reveal unto us the plan of salvation, but also to give us insight, to introduce us, how the separation from God happened, how the transgression happened, how the fall actually was, and why the redemption was necessary in the body of flesh. But let us come now to some important points, which I also noted down briefly. In Psalm 74, verse 2 to 11, the man of God expresses with all his heart what moves him, what moved him, what touched him. And here we read Psalm 74, verse 2 to 11. I just read the beginning. Remember thy congregation, remember thy church, which thou hast purchased of old, the people of thine inheritance. And then Psalm 79, verse 1. O God, Psalm 79, verse 1, O God, the heathen are come into thine inheritance. Thy holy temple have they defiled. They have laid Jerusalem on heaps. These two scriptures from the Old Testament are showing us what kind of sorrow men of God had felt about that the Church of God, the people of Israel, in the Old Testament, has not remained dead for what God has ordained it for from the very beginning. Namely, God said, I will dwell among you and walk among you, and I will be your God. The temple was, of course, built for the purpose that God, with his glory, could descend, visiting his people, having fellowship with his people. And in the Old Testament, the high priest, of course, when he entered into the most holy place, he had the breastplate with the 12 tribes of Israel, with the 12 precious stones in this breastplate. And this breastplate testified. When the light was flashing, then the thing was right. If the light was not flashing, then the thing was not right. Therefore it says, light and perfections, light and perfections, Urim and Tumim, light and perfections. In the same way, in the New Testament, we have the doctrine of the 12 apostles. What is not in agreement with it is not right. It's just not right. And finished. Full stop. There's nothing in between. There are only two seeds. According to Matthew 13, the Lord sowed the good seed. And the good seed which came up, these are the sons and daughters of the kingdom of God. The enemy, by his interpretations, he sowed his own seed and both on the same field. And both came up. Both received the same sun. Both received the same rain. But on their fruits ye shall know them. And as we said yesterday already, the enmity is once for all abolished for the true children of God. Where there is still enmity, there is still the enemy. Where redemption and forgiveness is, there is the Redeemer. Because there is grace and salvation. We all know the word from Matthew 16:16-19. I will build my church. We all know the scripture from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. That you know how to behave oneself in the church of God, which is the pillar and foundation of the truth. In the church of the living God, no interpretation has room. It's impossible. The church of the living God consists of sons and daughters of God, born again by the eternal seed of the Word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and by this being transferred into the kingdom of God to believe as the scripture says. It is Brother Branham. As we read yesterday, the law of reproduction was given from the very beginning, from Genesis 1. Every seed brings forth after its own kind. This is like this up to this day. And therefore, the divine seed is being sown. And where the divine seed is being sown, their sons and daughters of God are coming up. There's no other way. And then our Lord says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Brothers and sisters, into this church, God has set various ministries and gifts and tasks. And we are really expecting a restoration of all that what was at the beginning in the church. But we also found out, with pain, we found out that the enemy within the message has sowed so much discord and discrepancy. Different directions came up. Now, just be honest now. What does it help to the brothers if they speculate about the seventh thunder revelation? What does it profit them when they speculate about the seventh seal? What does it profit them? What avail is that to them? What good is it? Nothing. Nothing but time which the enemy robs them. We are grateful to God with all our hearts that we recognized the ministry of Brother Branham. And he was the promised prophet. This we can say in every meeting. Did any of the great evangelists even think about to read and mention the Malachi 3, the last verses? No one of them. All have built their own kingdom within the kingdom of God, and all drew the attention unto themselves. Brother Branham drew the attention not on himself, but unto the Lord. As all the prophets were a signpost, they were preparing the way, they were showing the way, but they were not the way. They were signposts, preparers of the way. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is Alpha, He is Omega, He is all in all. But we see it, that the enemy has sown his seed. It brings us pain. We cannot change it. Our Lord says, let both grow until the harvest. Also in future, I will not go into details, into things which people are spreading doctrinally and drawing disciples after themselves, but more the word, more our preparation to emphasize it in future. Brothers and sisters, the moment has come already. Has come, of course. As we mentioned it last night already, that we all are finding our place. The women finding their place, the men finding their place, the family finding their place, the church finding its place. That everything is put into a divine order. I didn't brought with me this newspaper clipping where the Lutheran bishopess with a nice photo is shown with her husband and her three daughters, nicely on a picture, and how she divorced him. And then the great article is written, and the headline says, he left the home, the house. And do you know what kind of scripture this bishopess, this she bishop, what scripture she referred to? What you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. This one has to imagine. On one hand, what you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth is loosened in heaven. So, on the earth I loosed, so in heaven it will be loosed also. The word of God is so misconstrued and misplaced and used for their own destruction. And one actually doesn't want to, one doesn't have to think about it anymore. Does the Bible speak anything of a she bishop? Does the Bible ever speak something about she apostles or she prophetesses or she teachers or she evangelists? Or does the Bible only report that God has set into the church apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists? Is it written in Acts 13? And in the church in Antioch, there were prophetesses and she teachers? Or does it say prophets and teachers? Back to the word of God. And let me say it here, especially addressed to you, precious sisters. You should be thankful to God that He, by the mouth of the prophet, also for the woman, for the family, for the marriage, he put it anew upon the lampstand. You should thank God on your knees that God in the message has shown you the right place. Otherwise, you cannot reach the destination. What does our Lord say? You all know the scripture. John 4, verse 34. This is my food, that I do the will of Him who sent me. What is your food? What is my food? When are we in the will of God? Of course, only then, when we have found our place. Only then we are really in the will of God. So, as the Holy Scripture has said, submit one to another as the fear before Christ requires it. But also for us, brothers, is the wonderful word. Go back to 1 Corinthians 11. God is the head of Christ. The head of Christ. Christ is the head of the man. Man is the head of the wife. This is the divine order. And into this we have to submit. Brothers, we have to submit under Christ the head completely. And the sisters must submit to the brothers if they are married. They have to submit. There is no other way. Now just imagine, at home, we would have nothing but arguments and strife and dispute, and then we would come piously into the service, and perhaps we didn't speak to one another, and are then expecting the great blessing, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the mighty working of God. Not like this. Brothers and sisters, let it be said to us. Brother Branham has seen it. I will not spend much time with it. But here, the man of God, he has seen the bride in a preview. And then he has seen the church. And then again he has seen the bride. Let me just read a few lines from the sermon, the masterpiece. I was in the spirit when this happened. Somebody was with me. I didn't see the person, but I heard the voice. I looked into this direction, and he said, the bride comes for a preview. When I looked at her, I saw the most moderate group, closely group of women coming to me, very nicely dressed. They came to me. Every one of them, she was dressed differently. All had long hair, long sleeves at their clothes, at their dresses. It were young women looking like about 20 years old. Let us stop here a bit. We all know what is written in Job 33, verse 25, that in the resurrection we will be transferred into our youth, that of sin and of sickness, of old age, of trouble, there will be no trace anymore. But really, there will be throughout all eternity, will be in our youth transferred. I told it to you a few times here before. When I experienced the rapture, and when I saw the multitude dressed in white, all were young. I was estimating 18, not older. 18, and all the sisters had the hair hanging down, openly down their backs. And the brothers, I've seen them all. I've seen them in this dimension. One can really look from the first to the last, no difference. One sees the last one because the group was really big. It was going into eternity. So here Brother Branham saw the bride in a preview. And then he continues to say, I looked to the people. And I was asking, what are you looking to now? I'm looking to the Bible. And he said, this is the truth. I have seen it. I can only say what I have seen. I don't know what this all means. I just have to tell it to you. Then the sentence on this page, the one who spoke to me stood next to me. He stood next to me. The bride consisted of pure and lovely looking people, as I have never seen them before in my life. It seemed to be a dozen or more. And then he describes this group which he has seen, which was passing by before him, from all the different nations. Earthly speaking, with countries with some special clothes and some special dresses. And so Brother Branham has also seen them. Now comes something very bad. Hold fast your seats now. He said then, as the next one comes, the American group. Then Brother Branham says, I am American, but this made me really sick. I don't know how to talk, how to speak, to say this here in a mixed crowd. I cannot express. I cannot express what I saw. You will have to read between the lines. When these women came closer, not bride, but church. One time he has seen the church, two times he has seen the bride. When these women came closer, you can read the description yourself. I saw that her their leaders was a witch. I saw that her leader was a witch. She had a long nose and a wide mouth. You all know God showed by pictures to the prophets, always by parables, by symbols. God spoke to the prophets and was speaking with the prophets. It is good if you would read it at home yourself. It really touched me that a witch, that people continued as before, but only in the church, not in the bride. Then Brother Branham saw the bride once again. And then here the Germans are mentioned. Yes. Here the Germans are mentioned, and he says, very moderately clothed ladies, they looked at me when they passed by. I was paying attention. I noted that every one of them was different, was clothed differently. One of them, which was walking right behind, she had long hair, and it was rolled in. The sisters, they have all a knot behind. or they have rolled it in. And then it says here, it could be a German. I watched her. When they passed by, the three last ones came out of step, and I cried. I cried something to them, and they tried to come back into step again. After I have seen her, the vision stopped. Brothers and sisters, I don't want to go into details, but also we as the church are really going through very difficult trials. The platform on this earth is today not for the church in Rome, not in New York, but there where God has given his word, where he has given a divine commission, and where the word is being carried into all the world. This is the platform. This is the place where the enemy attacks. And this is also the place of blessing of the Almighty God. As Jerusalem, I think I remember it correctly, 19 times it was destroyed, time and again. Why? Because it is the city which God has chosen, the holy city of God. And therefore, also today, everything turns around Jerusalem. It's not about Eastern Europe. It's not about the United States. It is about Jerusalem. And we see referred to us, it is about the church. The enemy really tried everything to destroy. Yes, he comes. He comes only to destroy. The Lord comes so that we have life and that we have it more abundantly. The enemy has the task to destroy. And we thank God that he could not destroy. Also 1979, not. He could not. No, it was impossible. God held his hand over everything, and he will do it until all eternity. We went through very difficult trials, and perhaps they become more difficult even. Yesterday, I just want to tell you now, without making you sorrowful now, but yesterday, I said it of Brother Branham, with the receiver of revenue, taxes. Three times in a row, he said, crushed down. I was so crushed down. He could not preach anymore. He was just at the end, negotiations here and this and that. When Brother Branham told me that they have taken him away the passport, he could not come to Germany because he had no passport because of this tax thing. Then I was remembering Monday the 31st of October 1989. It was the day of Reformation. Monday the 31st of October 1989. I was still in Zurich. It was the last Sunday. And behold, two cars with six people before 8 o'clock, they went here onto the place. They brought handcuffs to pick me because I was accused of my oldest son. I was accused at the police. And then the years came, the years followed, which costed me much energy and power. Negotiations here and 19 accusation points were brought together against me. Brothers who have heard the word at this place, they appeared and came on the scene as false witnesses. About 10 years have passed in which I had to go through terrible things. And I can only thank God that He has kept me and that He has given grace. If you would know what is connected with a divine call, with a ministry, then you would even remember me more in your prayers. Six brothers altogether who came on the scene as false witnesses. Two in the Krefeld surroundings, two in Switzerland, who also were included. And I tell you, it were years, years. And nevertheless, I have to say, to the glory of God, not one journey I missed, not one journey I had to cancel. All the journeys, all the trips I continued as they were in the plan of God. Also in those years in which I had sleepless nights. But then came the day of victory. And about this, the newspaper has written an article with photos. Everything was confiscated. All the documents, my private documents, were confiscated. Everything what belonged to the church and the mission center. Oh, boxes were transported away, were taken away. And then came the nice day in the court in Düsseldorf. All the several accusations were read. And then I raised my hand and I wanted to say something, and it was permitted. And after, just in a few minutes, I said what was upon my heart. Then the judge, the highest judge in Düsseldorf, he stood up and he said, in 20 minutes the sentence will be spoken. And they were withdrawing themselves for negotiations. And after 20 minutes, all the judges, all the group came together, they entered the courtroom, sitting down, and the judge stood up and proclaimed that I was free in all 19 accusation points, that I was acquitted in all 19 points, acquitted. And the accusers had to pay for it. God takes care for His people. And if I have to walk this way, then I have to walk it. And I walk it without any hatred in my heart. I just have pain in my heart. And this pain I would like to give you, to the fathers, to the mothers. I want to give it to you. I don't say this because I'm sorrowful about me. I say this only so that you also are informed. You are, of course, hearing all kinds of things, all false accusations, all slanders you are hearing all over the world. My oldest son who accused me at the police because of his mother commanded him who wanted to see me behind bars. Up to now, until to this day, he never invited me for a cup of tea. He stays in this city. I know his house, not from the inside. I don't know his house from the outside. But he's waiting for the rapture. He's waiting for the translation. He speaks of the message day in and day out. That's how it will not be possible. Even at my birthday, neither of my 10 grandchildren, no one is permitted to have fellowship with me. I am the Antichrist. I am the bride deceiver. I am and I am. 9 points they collected of what I shall be. You can imagine what kind of sorrow and pain I have. And I tell you, at the first weekend of the month in this year, remember me. And if all these people didn't cross the line, sometimes one could have the impression they have crossed it. But we want to remember all of them, which is who are ordained from eternity to eternity to behold the glory of God. I just wanted to let you know once, with what kind of pain I'm really walking around. And this because of the one reason, because the divine call is just here, and that the enemy tried everything to destroy the work of God, to destroy the church. I will never forget it when the words time and again came over the lips, I have to destroy you, I have to destroy your work, and so forth. Brothers and sisters, I'm closing with the word of God, which I just want to read from 1 Peter chapter 1, from verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1, from verse 13.
Freut euch mit mir, dass Gott den Sieg.
Rejoice with me that God will have the victory. Rejoice with me that the completion of the bride church will take place. Rejoice together with me that God's word is reaching into all the world. Just rejoice with me that God has his way, although we have to bear the most terrible reproach. We will bear the cross, and then we will exchange it for a crown.
Yeah.
1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 13. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and put your hope fully upon the grace that is to be offered unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And now comes the command to all of us. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conduct. May the Lord God grant it to all of us by his grace. All the sisters, all the brothers, in the marriage, in the family, in the church, that we just are finding our place in the full obedience of faith, in the full agreement of the Bible pattern, so that God's pleasure can really rest upon all of us, and so that we can walk forward encouraged. I'm honest, since a few days, with a new courage and with new strength, I'm filled. And I thank God for it. And I'm asking all to forget what doesn't belong to the proclamation. I will also ask that the brothers take it out. I just wanted to say it so that you also understand a bit my life and my ministry, that you can support it a bit. And so I thank you all. I thank you. And at this occasion, I would like in Germany, in Switzerland, in Austria, these three countries, from the very beginning, they supported the mission center. And now all the neighboring countries are also adding now. Also, since many times, Elsass, our brother and sister Kupfer, and others. And if I would tell you what kind of amount was spent in the year 2007, it would give you a sleepless night. I'm grateful to God, grateful that every invoice could be paid for, all the trips could be paid for, all the costs were paid for, and there's still some left. You don't have to worry. There's still something left. The Lord God bless you also in this point for your faithfulness, so that the work in the kingdom of God and the spreading of the last divine message can be done into all the world. The Almighty God lift up His countenance over all of us and give us His peace and His blessing. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let us stand up. Let us thank the Lord. I don't know whether we have today the courage to thank Him together, but let us do it together. Just thanking Him that He was carrying us through, that He kept us, that He helped us, that we could remain in His Word, and that we were counted worthy to carry His precious Word. We will also pray for all the brothers in all the countries and in various languages who are carrying the same Word. And may God bless them all. Let us together pray now. Heavenly Father, we thank you with all our hearts and for your faithfulness, for your wonderful and holy word. We thank you for your presence, for all your blessings. We thank you that you are speaking to us, that you are with us in all the difficulties, in all the trials. Precious Lord, you have helped, you have blessed, you have led, and you have guided. Ever faithful God, have thine own way, O Lord, and bless. Bless from the riches of your grace. And we pray for our enemies. We pray for our enemies with all our hearts and with all our souls. Precious Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. Give a turnaround. Give a new beginning. Sanctify this place. Sanctify this place where you are adored and worshipped, and have thine own way with all of us. Beloved Lord, You ever faithful God. We confess it. We confess it. If you would not be for us and with us, then everything would be at the end. But you were with us, and you will be with us. You have blessed, and you will continue to bless. And the enemy shall be laid at the footstool, at your footstool, shall become your footstool. He who wanted to destroy, he shall be destroyed in Jesus' holy name. And all shall be delivered, shall be loosened from the ban of Satan in Jesus' holy name. Great God. Great God.
Lasst es uns gemeinsam im Gebet dem Herrn bringen.
Let us bring it together before the Lord, believing Him. The Lord has come to destroy the works of Satan. In Psalm 110, it says that all the enemies have become the footstool, have become his footstool. In Romans 15, it says that the enemy will be crushed under our feet. And this we will now lay before the Lord God. We'll bring it to Him. And in prayer we will say it unto Him. That He is the victor of Calvary, who has bruised the head of the serpent. The serpent who used his tongue to cause so much calamity, so much poison he spread. Him the head shall be crushed, once again crushed. And this we want at this place. We want to experience it at this place. As last Wednesday, on the 25th of April, 1979, there was a cry made in this building that everything is at the end here. So may today, at this day, may be proclaimed that God has made a new beginning by His grace. Not what Satan spoke through a woman, but what God said through His word. This shall happen in Jesus' holy name. Precious Lord, we are not here in our own defense. We are here in the defense of the Word of God, with the responsibility to accomplish your Word and to spread it all over the earth and to carry it. Dear Lord, have thine own way with your church. And bless from today on in a supernatural way. Crown us all with mercy and with loving kindness. And the work of your hands be committed unto you. You have completed the creation work, and you will finish the redemption work unto the glorious day of your wonderful return. And so we ask you, lift up thy countenance over all of us and give us thy peace and thy blessing now and throughout all eternity. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Let us sing, "Is He Not Wonderful?" I have one request. Don't speak about remarks which I made. Just pray and leave it up to God how He will lead everything in a wonderful way. Perhaps I should have taken this pain for me, but sometimes you are seeing me standing here and the pain you can also see in me. I thank you for your understanding. Now we sing together, "Thou art worthy," and we lift up our hands. That's how it is. Let us remain standing for a moment. That what we heard today, I would like to give you something on your way for this new year, which the Lord has given us. As the Apostle Paul said it, Hebrews 12, verse 1 and then verse 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Thank you, Brother Schmidt. God bless us. Pray, please pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the words of comfort We thank you. As we heard, you as high priest, once for all, you entered into the most holy place. You who suffered all things, because of me, because of all of us, because of your church. So let us together praise you and honor you, and let us bear everything together for the glory of your name, so that your name might be glorified. Faithful God, who has revealed himself in Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know whether Brother Kupfer has a few words of prayer. We are, of course, not bound anymore to the time. Everything is switched off now. Just say a few words. Faithful Heavenly Father, we are bowing before your holy presence. We know you are the God of our faith. We have the trust in you. You are all-knowing. You are omnipresent. You are omnipotent. Oh, you great God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, you revealed yourself. We all were sinners one day. On the cross you have shed your blood for us. Oh Lord Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for every statement. I thank you for every revelation. We are a redeemed people. To you belongs all the glory. The praise and the adoration belongs to you. I thank you for my brothers. I thank you for the truth and for the courage. May the Lord bless us all. May we all understood what the love of God means, that we belong together in faith and trust in his love. Highly praised and highly blessed be the holy name of our God, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let us sing, our hearts are joined. I love Amen. And now each one is wishing God's blessing to everyone. And please, go with good courage and in full faith into the year 2008. And the Lord will be with us. Nowadays, since today, I'm praying.
So bete ich neuerdings, ja.
I'm praying, be with us today and be with us tomorrow and all the days until the end of the world. That's how the Lord promised it, and that's how it will be. Shake hands and wish one another God's blessings. Until the next time, the Lord be with you all. Amen.